Hello, dear far-flung listeners. Hannah McCarthy here.
Nick Capodice here.
Life has changed pretty drastically for most of us in the past couple of weeks. As we all try to figure out new ways of working, of learning, of parenting, of just plain talking to each other, Civics 101 is also going to adapt to the times.
We're going to be asking you what you want and what you need in the coming weeks so we can answer your most pressing questions and arm you with information. Understanding how this country works has never been more important. We'll be answering you directly, releasing new content, and keeping this community close and informed. To that end, we're asking any and all teachers out there to fill out the shortest survey ever to guide our production in the coming weeks. It'd be a huge favor to us. It's at the top of our website, civics101podcast.org.
Also, as part of this effort, we'll be featuring the occasional Civics Short from our lovely and talented producer, Jackie Fulton. Jackie's kicking off the Shorts project with a quick and dirty on how to run for president.
All right, let's go.
That you will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States.
That I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States.
Have you ever dreamed about being president?
Oh my God, who hasn't?
I'm Jackie.
I'm Jimmy.
This is Civics 101. We're going to tell you how to become President of the United States in 5 easy steps.
Step 1. You've got to meet the qualifications to run. So, were you born in the U.S.?
Yes.
Have you lived in the U.S. for the past 14 years?
Yep.
Are you 35 or older?
How dare you, sir.
Congratulations, and you can officially run for president.
I already have my announcement speech ready. Hi, I'm running for president of the United States of America. I promise you a puppy in every house. Vote for me, Jackie.
I'm more of a cat kind of guy.
Well, fine. I can throw a kitten in there for you.
Step 2, campaigning. This is where you give a lot of speeches and you work on your message. Maybe you want to add cats to your platform?
Yes.
There will be a bunch of other people in the race, too.
Former Vice President Al Gore, Senator Barack Obama, Governor Bill Richardson, Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton, and Governor...
And all of these candidates will need a lot of money.
And June 18th at the Washington Convention Center, he raised a whopping $21.5 million.
Commercials, bumper stickers, signed rallies, they're not free.
The more popular you are, the more money people give to you.
And the more money people give to you, the more popular you are.
When someone writes them a check, sends them a dollar, sends them $50, they can mark them down not just as a supporter, but as a voter.
So, if you're the most popular and you have the most money, you're also the most likely to win the presidential race.
These days, it can cost up to $1 billion to run. Hey, Jimmy, will you give me a dollar?
Sure, I'll give you a dollar.
Okay, how about 900 million more dollars?
I'm gonna have to get back to you on that one. I still need to look over your platform.
That sounds fair. Sometimes campaigns run out of money.
And then it's game over.
My campaign for president simply does not have the financial resources to continue. I'm not a billionaire. I can't fund my own campaign.
So how does it get down to just me and the other person facing off?
That's step 3, presidential primaries.
The primary elections in New Hampshire for delegates to the Democratic and Republican National Conventions find candidates and campaign managers pulling no punches. This is the first real popularity test for the favorites.
I think of the primaries as a small state election before the big national election. Not every state does a primary. Some do caucuses, where people get together in a room and try to convince each other that their candidate is the best. But most states do primaries.
And there are 2 big political parties in America, the Democrats and the Republicans.
Each state holds its own primary election, so voters in each state can pick the one candidate they want to keep running for their party.
New Hampshire has spoken, and when the ballots were totted up, it was a clean sweep for General Eisenhower on the Republican side and for Senator Estes Kefauver heading the Democratic slate.
Step 4. The parties hold nominating conventions.
May we have order, please?
The conventions are like big, splashy pep rallies that last for days.
There'll be time for tooting of horns and other noisemakers later on.
By this time, the candidate for each party is usually decided.
Thousands of people pack an arena and listen to speeches. on the very last day, another vote is taken.
Only special voters, called delegates, participate here.
Delegates from each state stand together in a group.
And one by one, they announce their results.
State of New Mexico, the land of enchantment, cast 5 votes for Governor Reagan and 1 vote for Governor Nelson Rockefeller.
The chair declares that the nominee of this convention for the presidency of the United States is Gerald R. Ford.
Step 5, Election Day. This happens in November.
A record number of Americans, upwards of 67 million, go to the polls to elect the 35th President of the United States.
Citizens. Surprise! I'm the new President-elect.
It would be sad if you lost your own daydream.
True, but it was a close race. Jimmy, because you've been my biggest and only supporter, I nominate you as my Secretary of Feline Affairs.
Aw.
Congratulations.
Meow.
Aw, hey, buddy.
Meow.
Think you got it, Nick?
I think so. First of all, qualify, then campaign, run in the primary, win that nomination, and then the all-important election day.
Easy. Just kidding. It's very, very difficult. Many thanks to Jackie Fulton for the civics short and to Jimmy Gutierrez for all of his help. Music in this short by Blue Dot Sessions. You can listen to all of what Civics 101 has to offer at civics101podcast.org.
Civics 101 is supported in part by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and is a production of NHPR, New Hampshire Public Radio.